It's time to link up for Is Missing That with Deputy Mayor Desley Simpson.
Yes, it is. Morena, Desley.
Morena, Rosetta. How are you this morning?
Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm really good. Look, lots happening in the city. We've had a few kind of big days at the office, so to speak, at the town hall. Mm. But last night I went to a show called Heathers, the musical, and it's kind of a really different musical. It deals with kind of the high school adolescent experience of everything from sort of sexuality to peer pressure, but it's got suicide and death, and it's actually quite confronting in a way that kind of points out some of the really not so nice side of human behaviour. But at the end, actually, it leads with a bit more positivity and shows that, you know, kind of good can overcome evil sort of style. But it's a great show. It's on at the Civic until the end of the weekend, so that's really great. And of course, also in the city, we've got this lovely art installation where it looks like a bit of a cathedral. It's insta-fantastic, by the way. Thousands of little lights, and you get in there and you can get some photos, and it's really cool. So, yeah, a few different things, but big council decisions, which you might want to talk to me about, PC 120, move on orders, things like that. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about PC 120 because, you know, of course we had a bit of a shake-up sort of end of March time with Chris Bishop announcing some changes to the requirements for the amount of houses to do with RMA reform, et cetera, et cetera. And now we're sort of looking at, okay, where are we going to go from here? What's the plan? Can you give us a bit of a rundown on where things are at?
Yeah, look, it's we, of course, as you're quite right, we've kind of gone all over the place with this, haven't we? We started at 2 million dwellings that we were sort of trying to plan for, and now it's coming down, and it's 1.4, right? Mm. So on Tuesday, staff gave us four options, basically, that you could do to decide on kind of what the new housing plan would look like, PC 120. Their preference was, and there was sort of A, B, C, D, none of very obvious names, but obviously they moved from a capacity for housing. Now, we decided to send two options out to local boards and iwi for their feedback. And I'll quickly just take you through those two options. Option A, which gives the capacity of between about 1.4 and 1.6. So that's, if you were going to say that's the lowest, but that actually deals with all the things the government asked us to deal with, i.e. density around the city centre, density in the metropolitan centres, which are kind of the large town centres, and the rapid transport stops on that Western Line, you know, that associated with the CRL. So they were the likes of Mungathao Station, Kingsland, Morningside, Baldwin Ave. So those big ones, Kingsland, Mungathao, 15 stories around there, and then 10 stories around the likes of the Baldwin Ave and Mount Albert, all right? So that is a 1.4 to 1.6 capacity. Then there was option B, which actually the staff suggested, and there's really only about 100k difference in capacity for option B. So option A, 1.4 to 1.6 capacity, meeting the government, all the things that the government's asked us to do. Option B is 1.5 to 1.7, all right? So basically, instead of just intensifying around the train stations that the government put into the legislation, it's actually adding that density to other train stations on other lines, all right? Mm. And then it also adds local centres and rapid bus routes. Local centres, so the difference between kind of a local centre and a town centre or the you know, is something like a local centre is something like Blockhouse Bay or Greyland or Mairangi Bay or Meadowbank, as opposed to the kind of the bigger town centres like St Luke's or Northcote or Onehunga. So that's kind of what those two options are. And we settled on those. I think a lot of people were kind of, why didn't you go for higher intensification? We did listen to the feedback. There was a hang of a lot of feedback in that came back, but of course it was based on the 2 million number. And I think, you know, we were all very conscious that we had to go down in the floodplain areas, and everyone agrees with that. So even though these capacities, you know, a minimum of 1.4 to kind of the B op maximum, which is 1.7, all those options take the lower pullback on flooding, which, you know, obviously is important. So the next steps are we go to the local board and iwi to discuss those two options, and then it comes back to us for a more formal decision in late July. Then it goes out to the public. So public will have a say as well. Following our kind of final landing on whether it's A or B or a bit of a morph between the two of them, public will have a say, and then after that public say, it goes to the IHP to consider, and they'll hold hearings as well. And then the final decision stays with that original date of June 27. Where we are with PC 120.
Right. Why does the public only get to have a say once council is pretty much sure of which of the two options they're going to go with?
Well, kind of that's the process. They do get a bit of a say if you're close to your local board. Local boards will be doing a lot of engagement. I know that, for example, in my local board area, there are two already. I mean, I'm going to one tonight, and there's another one on Monday night with residents' associations. So, you know, the local boards that have that are invested in this, and there's kind of significant difference between those two options and change, will be talking to their communities. As I said, I know mine is.
It feels as though it's sort of a bit of a fickle issue, eh? Because, you know, we've already had the government sort of go back on what they'd said previously and change their minds, and then, you know, election year and everything. Are you sort of feeling as though we need to keep options open for if things suddenly change in November in terms of what central government wants, whatever that government may be, or are we hoping to have things well underway by then?
Well, actually, that is a really, really, really good question. And I don't know that we know what all parties' view is on this. I mean, we know what the coalition view is on this, the current government's coalition, because that's what they've agreed, right? But I suppose you don't know what you don't know, and you can only follow a plan with what you've been given and the timeframes to work with. So that's where we're heading at the moment. I mean, this whole process, government have... in some respects, controlling the process and always have, i.e. they've set the limits, and basically it's up to us to look at, as long as we comply with the law, for want of a better word, and that, you know, that's the hardest thing for us is to actually, we started all this process on 2 million and now we're having to redo it for 1.4 as a minimum. And as I said, the two processes, there's 100k in it. For me, I just want Aucklanders to understand from that, you know, the way I read it, really, it's about the law is option A, option B is the law plus not just on the Western Line and those stations, but other train stations, rapid bus corridors, and adding local centres to intensification, not just the major town centres.
Right, thank you for clearing that up. I want to just quickly, before we let you go, touch a little bit on some exciting news. $10 million to accelerate predator-free projects in Tāmaki Makaurau. This is exciting for us, isn't it?
Look, this is actually really exciting. It's called Nature Positive Auckland, and it's a partnership between basically council, the Department of Conservation, and an outfit called the Next Foundation to restore kind of nature across Tāmaki Makaurau. Now, if you haven't heard of the Next Foundation, it's worth a Google. It was set up in 2014 by some people with a surname of Ploughmans. And they're basically two successful and very humble Kiwis who put $100 million into our environment and education. They've now committed a further $150 million, and this time all of it's on nature. Now, until now, the Next Foundation had done much of its biggest work in the South Island, all right? Because, you know, we often perceive the South Island as that wonderful, natural, outdoorsy kind of place. But a third of us live right here in our wonderful city of Tamaki Makaurau, Auckland, and we certainly are blessed with a ring of extraordinary biodiversity, right? Aoraki Gulfs, Maunga, the Hunua Waitakere Ranges, etc. So what does this Nature Positive Partnership really do? It pulls together the nature work already happening. So predator-free projects, restoring ecosystems, cleaning up our waterways, community planting days, Auckland is trapping in their own backyards. It basically brings in new money, ideas and energy from central government, philanthropy, mana whenua and the private sector. So it's awesome. And I mean, the first bit of that was the $10 million from central government to accelerate predator-free 2050. And that's co-funded from the that'll be co-funded from the Next Foundation. So this first cab off the rank, for want of a better word, is scoping work on the Whangaparoa Peninsula. Peninsulas are traditionally good places for predator eradication because they're surrounded by water on three sides, and if you eradicate pests, it's much easier to keep them out, right? So it's an exciting project. I think we all need to give a big shout out to the Next Foundation and the Ploughmans for their investment into our great country and city. But as I said, that's that partnership between government, DOC, council, local groups, etc. And this first bit is the $10 million from government is just going to make a huge difference. So I think, look, we all love environmental initiatives, right?
Yes,
so,
we do.
I think it's super positive. I'm just I'm quite stoked on it, really. Yeah.
Awesome. Nice to have some good news, eh?
It is. Yeah, it is. Yeah, because I mean, you know, our natural environment is very unique. I mean, globally, we're known for it too. So to actually have more investment in it, I think is going to be really great.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Desley. Always a pleasure to chat with you, and hope you have an awesome rest of your week.
You too, Rosetta, and best to Millie. I hear she's not feeling too hot, so I hope she feels better soon.
Thank you. I'll pass it on. Ka kite.
Okay, ka kite. Bye-bye.
That was Is Missing That with Deputy Mayor Desley Simpson.